And we know that this weekend's first week of finals has thrown up arguably the four most intriguing, as a group, first week of finals games that we've had since the final eight has come in, such as the evenness of the competition and the notion, especially in the top four, that survive week one and the grand final becomes far more attainable. Miss out on week one and you're back fighting against very good teams in week two. Mark Stone is an assistant coach, or one of the assistant coaches, of course, at the Fremantle Dockers. The Dockers head to Sydney tomorrow to prepare for this huge game at ANZ Stadium. He joins us now. Good evening, Mark.
Yeah, good evening to you, Mark.
This, no finer point on it, Fremantle, in many people's minds, are premiership material. Of course they are. Runners-up last year and doing very good things at the back end of this season. Lose the first week of the finals, and it's a hard, hard mountain to climb. So, boy, oh, boy, it's all on the line.
Oh, well, it certainly is. You lose this week, it gets tougher, doesn't it? You've got to win then another two games to even get a start in the grand final. So, a little bit like last year, we go on the road for a qualifying final against a really quality opposition. It's going to be a tough game and tough to win. We know that, but we also know, and history suggests, we've done it before. There's no reason why we can't repeat that.
And so the big news that came through early on in the week, a couple of nights ago, that Michael Johnson would not be able, with his back injury, to avoid the surgeon's knife, has had speculation about the possible replacements and exactly how the Fremantle backline will set up. Obviously in the planning, and much of it will have been done in-house, and we're not going to find out about it until the players step on the ground, there has to have been some changes of mind. Just without telling us necessarily the names, how much midnight oil has been burnt since that news came through to you at the football club?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Michael's a big loss. He's been a great player for us, and it was a really brave effort to play against Port on the weekend, knowing he's a bit sore, but really not knowing what the damage was. But yeah, so there's obviously a few different combinations that we need to look at, and we've started our match committee process, but we certainly haven't finalised it at this stage. But potentially we could have a couple of, or a young tall come in to replace him, Alex Pearce or Tanis Mears potentially could come into the side, and we've got other things we can do in terms of restructuring our team. But no doubt one of our backs has to play a little bit taller and play punch above his weight a little bit. And Garrick Ibbotson's 190, so he tends to be looked at as a medium, but he does play a bit taller than his size would suggest, and he usually matches up on. But there's no doubt it's a challenge, isn't it? You know, it's a big forward line they've got there at Sydney. It's full of talent, and any one of them can hurt you. So there'll certainly be a lot of discussion tomorrow morning, and lots of plan A and plan B, and we'll go there with the best team we can possibly field and have a real crack.
Mark, it's Nigel Carmody. All the best for the weekend and the remainder, obviously, of your season.
Thanks, Nigel.
A lot of talk, obviously, about the surface at ANZ, particularly out of the weekend. We know Ross's mantra and the clubs of anywhere, anytime, but is it unusual to be playing a final at a venue that you've played at once as a club, and that was 8 years ago? Does that do anything different to your preparation and, I guess, the unfamiliarity for the majority of the playing group?
No, not really, Nigel. I mean, last year we went down to Skilled Stadium, and I don't think they'd had a final there for 80 or 90 years or something like that. So our preparation doesn't change at all. We have to play in on any venue, and it's been quite well quoted that we're an anywhere, anytime team, and that's our philosophy. The ground, we'll set up our ground that we train on to match the dimensions of ANZ Stadium. The players will have a walk on it when we get up there, and I know that doesn't substitute for playing on it, but it's just another footy ground with slightly different dimensions to what we're used to, and we'll acclimatise to that as best we can. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you put footy's good enough, you win the game. It really doesn't come down to where and what surface you're on.
This may be overly simplistic, but certainly in the media, there has been a notion, and one that I'm partial to myself, that there's 16-goal Fremantle and 12-goal Fremantle, and both of them can go out and win football, but both of them run down the race, slightly different setup, slightly different ways of transferring the ball. I fear that if any, I'm sure the opposition coaches don't look at it that simplistically, but the scoreboard this season does suggest that if 16-goal Fremantle is an entity, then it's playing its best and doing its best work in the last three games of the year.
Yeah, look, yeah, you're right, and we'd like to be 16-goal Fremantle as long as it's not 17 or 18 against. So the balance of trying to find a few extra goals and you know, score a bit more can't come at the cost of our defence. And we've just tried to, you know, maintain our defensive structures and that mindset, but move the ball quick, be a little bit daring with our ball movement at times, and you know, sometimes there's some risk involved, but risk-reward, and, you know, we've got to give our forwards the best opportunity. So we've got to move it quick. We've been doing that a little bit better in the last 4 weeks, and we've been getting the results we're after. But certainly it can't come at a cost defensively.
Why aren't you playing at Patterson's? What on earth happened that afternoon against St Kilda?
Oh, look, I haven't really got an answer. We certainly, you know, that loss is one we'll rue, but we can't go back and change it now. And that situation's well and truly out of our control now, so we get on with what's in front of us, and that's Sydney at ANZ Stadium.
You must be fairly excited with what you're about to unleash on September in the term of Michael Walters and Hayden Ballantyne. I guess their collective grunt at the moment. You know, Sydney have some very small backs, and Nick Smith amongst them, who's been good enough to make the All-Australian 40, but be pretty confident that they're two guys that can give the Swans some serious headaches.
Well, we hope they can, yeah. They're in really good form, both of them, and it's great to have them in good form at the same time. There's been periods where Michael's been in terrific form and Hayden's battled a little bit and vice versa. And at the moment, they're both in really good form. So we hope they continue that. And I think that's what gives the opposition defence a bit of a headache, is when they're both firing at the same time, it becomes difficult to stop them both. And, I personally know the calibre of defender that Nick Smith is, and having worked there, and also Reece Shaw and Nick Malcheski and Dane Rampey, they're all quality defenders. But the aim for us is to give them, you know, our small forwards every opportunity with the ball going in there quickly and to one-on-one contest wherever possible and you know, force them to defend. And, you know, over the course of 120 minutes, if we give them enough opportunity to run and to move and to force them to defend and hopefully make some mistakes, then we should benefit on the scoreboard. And, you know, hopefully that's the way it goes to plan.
It is the extremities that probably would provide the Sydney Swans with most of their most question marks in pre-planning, and hopefully for the Dockers, most problems come the game. The little men at the drop of the ball and the giant who might be feeding them, Mike Pike hasn't had as good a season as probably they would have hoped with the loss of Mumford, injury a part of that, but even an opponent aside, what can Aaron Sandilands do in different departments, rucking defensively forward, that might be just a step too far for the Swans?
Well, we hope Aaron can give us first use both at the centre bounces and around the ground, and particularly in the middle. You know, I do know ANZ a little bit because I was at the Swans for 4 years, and it's a ground where you do need to get ground position off centre bounce. You've got to get it out of the middle and up your front half. So hopefully Aaron can be a strong contributor in that area and give our mids first hands of the footy. But also, look, we believe it might be a bit wet, but if it's, you know, not wet at all, we need to take a couple of marks and be a real threat up forward for us. And he hasn't marked it as much as he did this time last year in the finals, but Aaron's real strength, I think, has been shown in the past couple of big games we've had against Hawthorn and Port. When the game, late in the game, when it got, you know, everyone got a bit tired and fatigued, he stands really tall and doesn't get any shorter, and he's taken some real game-saving marks for us. But we'd like him to be a threat up forward as well. So, you know, Aaron works really hard on his game, and we know he's going to give everything he's got come Saturday afternoon.
And I tell you what, you've given us plenty on a Wednesday night, Mark. It's been a real pleasure and honour, actually, to be able to speak to somebody from within the Dockers organisation ahead of not only a huge game, but getting over to Sydney as well. So we thank you. If you could pass those thanks on to the football club, and all the best with everything to play for. I know this much, and I say this to people who say, oh, Sydney, look home. 15 minutes into the game, and I bet you the thing is red hot, we'll be saying anybody can win this. Good luck, eh?
Thanks, guys. You're very welcome.
Mark Stone there from the Fremantle Footy Club.